Thank you, Brother Dave, for Kayla, and for Kayleen at the piano. I can stand before you today and honestly tell you that I had a good father. In fact, I had a great father. He was a great leader in our home. He was a leader in our local church. He was outspoken in our community. He was a great decision maker, the breadwinner, a disciplinarian, a great teacher. Taught me, my brothers, how to use tools, how to stand up for what was right. He demanded hard work, demanded it. Because he was a hard worker. And he motivated others to do the same. So I praise God for my father, who passed away in 1999. I've heard others say, too, that they not only had a good father, but a great father. And not asking for a response from you visibly, but I wonder how many of you could say, I had a good father. In fact, I had a great father. I can't brag about it because it's only by God's grace. But you know, the word great is the highest compliment possible we can pay to an earthly father. I can never say my father was perfect. As great as he was not a perfect father. No father is. I sure wasn't. In America, we no longer live in a society where people can claim that they had a good father, let alone great. Fathers today are teaching their children by example to be lazy, to be pushovers. They're teaching their boys to be effeminate, their girls to be masculine, to be godless, to be uninvolved, all by their example. Last year's Father's Day message was from 1 Corinthians 16:13. Fathers and their critical need for men to act like men. And today men aren't acting like men because their fathers didn't. And so today we have a society of many who are blaming their fathers for their own shortcomings. I didn't have a good example, they say. So what I do is what I do because of my father. And so many young men, when they become fathers themselves, claim that they don't know how to be a good father, and the cycle just continues. Earlier I said that no father is perfect, but according to the Bible, there is a perfect father. So I want to say something here. No Christian can ever claim, I don't have a perfect father, let alone good or great. None of you can claim, I don't have an example of a good, great, or perfect father to justify your own shortcomings. You see, I could list the specific failures of my dad, as you can list the specific failures of your fathers, girls or boys. And my boys could list all my specific failures. But none will ever be able to find even one failure in the perfect father. You may know where this is found. It's found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. I'd like you to turn there with me, please. It's just one verse that I'm going to use as my text this morning, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Jesus is admonishing his disciples in this chapter. This is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. But here in chapter 5, Jesus is admonishing his disciples not to be good, not to be great, but listen, to be perfect. Your earthly father may not have been good, but you have a perfect father in heaven. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Read that out loud with me as I read it again, please. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." In this verse, Jesus provides the standard. "Be ye therefore." Therefore refers back to the previous verses, and there we're going to find the standard. Jesus not only provides the standard, he provides the expectation. It's the word perfect. "Be ye therefore perfect." So perfect is the expectation. He also provides the comparison. "Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So we have in this one verse the standard, the expectation, and the comparison of the perfect Father. Let's look, first of all, at the standard. It's found in the words, "Be ye therefore." Again, therefore refers back to what has been introduced in verse 20. You're going to have to go back to chapter 5 and verse 20. But before you even get to verse 20, you have in the first 12 verses what we call the Beatitudes. Then in verses 13 to 16, we have what we call the similitudes. We are the salt. We are to be light. And then Jesus talks about his word in verses 16 to 19. And then he says this in verse 20. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now what he says here is important, because he says, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven if you don't meet this. So look first of all in verse 20 at the comparison in the standard. Jesus here says something very shocking. He had said, "I did not come to make things easier by reducing the law." Did you get that? Jesus did not come to reduce the standard of the law. Far from it. In fact, he could have said, "I am here to tell you that unless you meet the obligations of the law better than the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't just be the least in the kingdom of heaven, you won't even enter it. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees." Now, folks, there was no one more righteous in the eyes of people than the scribes and the Pharisees. And they were proud of it. Not just equal to their righteousness, but to exceed it. Jesus' morality is superior to that which was taught and practiced by these religious leaders. The Jews considered the scribes and the Pharisees the most righteous, unable to be matched. But Jesus had just said in verse 17, "I came to fulfill the law." And he did. Today's Christians do the same as these Jews in Jesus' day who considered the scribes and the Pharisees the most righteous, and therefore, well, I'm never even going to compare myself with them because I can never meet that standard. I can never be like the Pharisees. It was all outward, by the way, all outward. I can never be like that. And so they look at some evangelist, they look at some missionary, they look at some pastor, and they say to themselves, "I'm glad I don't have to live that righteously." As if their standard is another man. And thus they excuse their own shortcomings. But folks, the standard for you is not some other human being. Your standard is God himself. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." There's your standard. The demands of the law are not reduced, they're increased. And if you don't exceed, then we see the exclusion in the standard. Look in verse 20 again. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case. That's a double negative. Remember how I translate a double negative? Anybody? Ain't no way. Because it's two negatives, ain't and no. Horrible English. But for emphasis in the Greek, there would be two negatives to really emphasize that something here is impossible. And unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, there ain't no way you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It is impossible, let alone be the least in it. Now, Christ's teaching is in no way inconsistent with the law and the prophets, but much different than the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, their traditions adjusted the law to the capabilities of man. The righteousness that they were seeking was external. The righteousness demanded by the Lord Jesus Christ was a true inner righteousness, an inner righteousness that produced that outward righteousness. The Pharisees minded only the outside. How many times did Jesus say, you're like unto whited sepulchres, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity? They kept emphasizing the outward, neglecting the inside, but Jesus was concerned about the righteousness on the inside. You can look righteous on the outside and be just as filthy as a tomb, what's in a grave. And so in the verses following verse 20, verses 21 to 47, you have six statements that Jesus makes that sound like this. You have heard that it was said by them of old time. Six times he says that. You have heard that it hath been said by them of old. Verses 21, let's just look at that real quick. Look at verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them. Verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Verse 31, it hath been said. Verse 33, again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. Verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said. So six times he says, here's what you've heard. He's talking to his disciples. And Jesus is comparing his teaching, the truth, with that of the scribes and the Pharisees. His morality, Jesus' morality, is far superior. It exceeds their teaching. Then six times, following that statement that I've just repeated six times, then another six times after every one of those, he says, but I say unto you. And when he uses the word I in the original, it's emphatic. He's saying, but I myself am saying this to you. To contrast what he is about to say with that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the most righteous men outwardly of his day. So he's comparing his teaching with theirs. He sets himself up as the authority. Jesus is not correcting the law of Moses. He is giving its true interpretation. And thus he says, for example, in the first, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. But I say unto you, if a man is even angry with his brother, he has already committed murder in his heart. In his heart, inward. He is concerned with the inward. And then the following five as the same thing. Adultery and looking upon someone to lust after them and so forth. There's the standard. Would you admit, first of all, this morning that the standard that Jesus gave was impossible for you to ever meet? But he's giving it. He's giving it to his disciples. Unless your righteousness, unless it exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. There ain't no way. So the standard, be ye therefore, in verse 48. Then the word perfect in verse 48. This is the expectation. Perfection is expected. And this is a command. It's not a suggestion. There's this teaching going around today that Christians are not to live up to any kind of a standard. That you can't please God anyway, so why try? There are verses in the Bible that directly contradict that, this being one of them. In other words, we're told you must walk worthy of God your Father. You must walk worthy of Him, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. That word by itself and in certain contexts can simply mean mature. But it doesn't mean mature here alone. Because in the context, who does it later say is perfect? Your Father in heaven. Would you describe Him as just simply mature? Or would you describe Him in every way as being absolutely perfect? That's who He is. So the comparison here, the context tells us that Jesus is not just commanding that you be mature. He says, even as my Father in heaven is perfect, you be perfect. Is anybody in trouble? Perfect, as it is applied to God, is also applied to His children. You protest, well, God doesn't really expect us to be perfect like He is. Pastor, you're looking at this verse and you're not giving us the true interpretation of what Jesus means here. But wait a second. If you doubt what I'm saying here about that word perfect, then you must also admit that God does not mean what He says in Leviticus chapter 11 when He says, "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And later on in Leviticus 19, almost the same thing, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So even as He is holy, you're to be as holy. Are you as holy as God? You protest again, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay, then I'll give you a New Testament verse that quotes that Old Testament verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In your life's conduct, you be as holy as God is. Because it is written," referring back to Leviticus, "be ye holy, for I am holy." So would you finally admit that God expects you to be as holy in your life as He is? Would you admit it? The perfection of every believer is expected. The perfection of every Christian father is expected. Even if you will never attain it, you should always strive for it. But here's what happens, since we can never attain it in this lifetime, and Paul says this very same thing in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "I have not yet attained, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All my life I keep pressing." And I have something to tell you. You never will attain this perfection in practice. And it's hard to face. It's like when I preach on Mother's Day the sermon that I've preached from Proverbs chapter 31. And how many of you mothers would say, "Oh, the Proverbs 31 mother, I live right up to what she does." My wife and I have had this discussion. You know, it's almost discouraging because I could never be like the Proverbs 31 woman. And who can find a virtuous woman? Well, the same book of Proverbs also says this about men. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" Can't find him. And yet, perfection is the expectation. So we would try to make that word perfect in Matthew 5:48 to mean something else, less than perfect. so that we can see ourselves as not falling that far short. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I can never meet the standard. I can never meet the expectation. And here's where we kind of go, wow. I can never do it, so why try? Well, then we come to the comparison. And under this point, we're going to see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The comparison. Even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Again, Jesus compares us not with our earthly father. And I'm speaking not just to the fathers here, but to everyone here who has a father. And every one of you has a father, an earthly father. And every one of you could list all of the specific things about him where he fell far short. But anybody else could list all of the failures you've had in your life where you have fallen far short. But Jesus compares us not with an earthly father, but with your Father which is in heaven. As the standard. You see, most children will probably claim more perfection than their earthly father. I mean, just listen to kids talk. I'll never be like Dad. I'll never do what Dad did. He was a poor example. My dad was a drunkard. My dad was this. My dad was that. And you're simply talking about a sinner, even if he was a Christian, a sinner saved by grace. And when you compare yourself with another human being, it kind of helps elevate you because you can see their faults and you can say, well, he has never been way up here because I'm just as good as he is. And whenever you compare yourself with another Christian, you are having a false standard. Because the standard is not another human. Your standard is God himself. Your standard is, as a Christian, your heavenly Father. You'll notice that when I talk about your heavenly Father, you have to be a Christian to have him as your heavenly Father. I'll say something about it in just a minute. Again, Jesus is teaching his disciples. You go back to the first verse of chapter 5, it clearly says he is teaching his disciples. And he admonishes here his disciples to be as their heavenly Father. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So let me ask you something. Is it possible, if you have a perfect father, to have a perfect son? Is it possible, if you have a perfect father, that you could also have a perfect son? Are there any examples of that? Who's speaking here? Jesus Christ. Was he perfect? So we have the example of a son just as perfect as his father. Yes, he who commanded, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, could not demand of us what he himself could not fulfill, but he did fulfill it. Jesus provided an example of being like his Father in heaven. How did he live up to that standard? I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Matthew 5, 17. He challenged those who later tried to kill him. And he said to them, which of you convinceth me of sin? That word convinceth means convicts. Which of you can ever convict me of sin? And they could only stand there silent. Only he could issue the 520 challenge of Matthew. Which of you convinceth me of sin? That's John 8:46. Just two verses earlier than that, he's telling these people who want to murder him, he says, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own because he is a liar and the father of it. Your father's the devil. A man just told me the other day, as I got into a debate with him, and yes, I debate people. I was at the gym and I was debating a man I know, a friend. We started in politics. You want to have a debate? Start with politics. It often leads to the opportunity to give the gospel, and it did. "Well, we're all just God's children," said he. I said, "That's a lie from the pit of hell. Otherwise, why would Jesus have said, 'You are of your father, the devil'? And why would the Bible say, 'As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name'? We are not all the children of God. We're the creation of God, but not all his children." Here Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Only his disciples, his true disciples, would ever have the power to be perfect like their Father in heaven. In the end, no disciple, no Christian could ever measure up to his Heavenly Father, especially being perfect. But that's the comparison Jesus makes. Listen to Ephesians 5:1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Followers of God as dear children. Now, Paul would often sometimes also say, "Follow me even as I follow God." Therefore, as long as you can find somebody who's following God, you can follow them. But do not follow them when they do not follow God. Follow a man who follows God. But here's the point. The bar is never lowered for you. Fathers, the bar is never lowered. Every believer, every Christian dad is to be a follower of God. If the bar would be lowered, it would admit some toleration of sin on God's part. And God tolerates no sin. No sin will ever enter heaven. No sinner will ever enter heaven except for those sinners who have been saved by grace. There's no equity with God, as it is used today, that term equity. That is raising or lowering the bar based upon gender or race. There's no equity with God, only justice. I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Again, it's impossible to be as perfect as our Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. To be as righteous as he is, to be as holy as he is. But there is a way. There is a way for you to be as holy and as righteous as God himself. Now that you found that passage, let me quote you a verse. And let me say something to introduce this verse. It's impossible for you to be as perfect as God except through Jesus Christ. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he," that is God, "hath made him," Jesus, "to be made sin for us, who knew no sin," here it is, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, positionally before God as a Christian, and this is not sacrilegious for me to say this because this is scriptural, me positionally in Jesus Christ, I am as righteous as God because of Jesus Christ in my position. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Notice verse 3. "For you are dead." It literally means you died. When you got saved, you died. "And your life is hid with Christ in God." In other words, your position in Christ is that you are dead and your life is hid with Jesus Christ in God. Your relationship in God, your life has been hidden with Christ. So that when God sees Dan Unruh, he doesn't see Dan Unruh, he sees Jesus Christ. Because my life is hid with him in God. Now, I don't soak people for amens. But if there's ever a chance for an amen, that's a good one. I am hidden with Christ in God. My position, as far as God is concerned, is that I am as righteous as Jesus Christ. And I don't say that sacrilegiously, and I don't say that braggadociously, because there's nothing for me to brag about. It's all because of Jesus Christ. It's by his grace alone. That's my position. But now, what's my practice? And what is your practice? Well, I could never be as righteous as he. Wait a second. Aren't you in position as righteous as he? Yes, but no buts. Aren't you in position as righteous as he? I suppose. Then practice it. I read Colossians 3:3, jumped down to verse 5. What should you do therefore? What's the first word of verse 5? Mortify. Has any, you ever heard somebody say, oh, I was just mortified? What does the word mortify mean? Well, here it means to put to death. So verse 5 of Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Kill them. Put them to death. I'm like, what are you talking about, Paul? Well, glad you asked. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. See, the old man is dead. You are hid with Christ in God. That's your position. Now practice it. Are you ever going to be perfect in your practice? No, but you are in your position. And all my life, all your life, you should be striving to be as perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, because that's what you're commanded. You see, the perfecting of the saints is a lifelong, ongoing process for which God has given pastors and teachers undergoing the exact same process in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's the measure. He's the standard. And until I come to that point all my life, I am growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the measure of a perfect man is not another man. It's Jesus Christ, who is God the Father. So, every one here who has a father, which is all of you, what's your standard? Well, I didn't have a good dad, and I don't know what a good dad's like. You have a perfect example. You have a perfect example. Two kinds of people in this world. Those who are in the kingdom of heaven and those who are not. We call that those who are saved and those who are not. My question to you this morning is are you in the kingdom of heaven? If so, your righteousness must exceed that of the most religious, or you're not in. Those who are perfect as God the Father and those who are not. Let me remind you again that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has credited His righteousness to your account, and you're as perfect as He is in the sight of God. Praise God. Amen. Now all your life, it should be, I press, I press, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I keep pressing, I keep pressing. Paul said also, I keep under my body, I keep my body under. What is it that keeps most of us from being like God the Father? It's our flesh, it's our bodies. We let our bodies control. Oh, I'm too tired. I'm too this, I'm too that. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I keep my body under. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've got to find someone who has kept the law perfectly. And there's only one such person, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So, do you have a perfect Father? If you're a Christian, you have to say yes. If you're not a Christian, you can't. Your father's the devil. He's as opposite to perfection as anybody. As a Christian, you have a high standard, a high expectation, a tremendous comparison. We're going to close by singing in your Wilds hymn book, number 30, His Robes for Mine.